My name is Joe Welsh, and I use the Motorola Click with the horrible Motorola Blur. Now welcome Phil and friends for the wonderful Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody. It's Phil here for AndroidCentral.com, and welcome to podcast number 7 for the week of April 11th, 2010. It is a very exciting week. I am in a good mood. I am here with Mickey Papillon, the cell phone junkie. Mickey, what's going on, dude?
Not a whole lot. Great to be here, as always. A lot of great stuff this week. We've got a list of topics here that rivals the cell phone junkie shows. I mean, it's just, it keeps going and going and going. It's going to be a packed show today.
And it's all good stuff. We're not, like, filling it with fluff or anything. You keep looking at this like, oh god, that's a hell of a story. All right, that one's a hell of a story. There's another one, there's another one, there's another one. So let's just jump right into it. The Verizon Droid Incredible, previously just the Incredible, it is now the Droid Incredible. It's official. It's coming. And you can pre-order Monday, right?
Yeah, it's coming up real quick here, and we'll be in stores on the 29th of April.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to get it very soon.
Going to be $199 on contract, the usual two-year deal with rebates and cards and all that stuff. A lot of people are asking us about the unlocked price, or at least the unsubsidized price. We saw leaks that said $600 at Best Buy. That's probably right around there if you think that the Nexus One is $530. You know, $600 is a lot of money. I got a feeling this device will probably be worth it. What do you think?
I do. I mean, these phones are so sophisticated now. I mean, let's back up first. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is the Desire, basically.
Right.
So, with the Verizon branding on it.
Well, and it looks different. It doesn't have the same sort of HTC look in the Desire that we saw. But yeah, I mean, the specs are almost exactly the same.
Right. And that's, I guess that's the bottom line. The most important thing about it is that it's the specs that matter. The 3.7-inch screen, 480 by, you know, 800 AMOLED. It's got an 8 gig internal memory on it, and you know, the Snapdragon processor. The specs in it and the materials that are made that it's made out of are probably worth $600 if you look at some of the other unsubsidized prices of phones that are out there. And you mentioned the Nexus. I mean, I'll even, you know, throw out there like the iPhone. I mean, that's a $600 device if you get it unsubsidized. So, and I would argue, and it's not a very tough argument, that the specs on the Incredible are a lot more incredible than what the iPhone has. 8-megapixel camera, dual LED flash. I mean, just a fantastically spec device here. And anyone who is looking for, you know, something to jump over to the Android platform for, you made a great decision, I think, in waiting out the Droid here and getting the Droid Incredible.
Well, but we still have tough decisions to make. We just asked this morning, you know, does anybody even care about the Verizon Nexus One yet? Which was, you know, announced in January at the same time the Nexus One was announced. It was saying, you know, it will be coming to Verizon sometime this spring, and we're still waiting. So we put a poll up asking if anybody still cares, and the answer is, you know, actually, I'm surprised. We see a lot of people who say, yeah, I really do want the Nexus One. I don't know. You have any feel for that?
I do. I will go as far as to say that if the unsubsidized price of the Incredible is less than or at least equal to that of the Nexus One, so mm-hmm. if they can get it like, you know, $525 or $550 or less for it, I think the Nexus One is dead on Verizon.
Let's see. The poll, we've got 1,300 votes, and 76% said they don't care about the Nexus One, and
exactly.
I would probably fall into that category too.
Here's the thing. Both have, you know, 2.1. The Incredible has Sense, which I think is a definite plus on it. Same processor, 8-megapixel camera, up from the 5 on the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's got a beautiful display, or both have beautiful displays. The Incredible comes in with that optical joystick, and I think that's a big, you know, win for the Incredible over the Nexus. I don't find that a trackball now is something that's acceptable. I think everyone is kind of moving towards this optical feel here, and it just feels a little bit too mechanical on something for 2010.
In the time that I spent with the HTC Legend, I still didn't really use that much. I used it as little as I used the trackball on the Nexus One, but it definitely looks better and more
right.
Sleek. It doesn't look like a giant wart on the bottom of my phone.
Yep. And that's kind of what my thought is on that is you're it's a lot about aesthetics for people who are, when they buy a phone. It's, how does this look? How is this going to look when I use it? And granted, this is a pretty geeky phone, but the fact that it's coming to Verizon, I think Verizon's going to be shifting a lot of marketing towards this device. I mean, they, you know, see, look what they did with the Droid, and they're looking for the next thing that can get them, you know, or I guess keep them on top is in the carriers here in the U.S. And, you know, it's not a perfect device, but as far as 2010, with the exception of, you know, the 4G that the Evo has, I think this is probably, in my opinion, you know, on the top of the pile of Android devices right now.
I want to talk about the Evo in a second, but before we do that, let's talk about the decision to call it the Droid Incredible. Mm-hmm. I can see why. That's certainly branding they want to continue, but do you think that's just going to confuse things more? I mean, you have the Droid, which is just a big elephant in the room. It is a big, burly phone. The Droid is the Droid. Droid Aris, all right, it was denounced at the same time, but when you bring a third phone into that lineup, do you think it's just muddying the waters too much and they just should have called it the Incredible?
Maybe, but I think it makes a lot of sense for the consumer aspect of it. People that know the Droid know that it has got an operating system. They probably don't understand what Android is. They don't understand, you know, what all the different, you know, variants of Android are, but they know that Droid is essentially what the phone can do. And so now that they have a device called Droid Incredible, I think it's a good branding move. It makes a lot of sense to the consumer that doesn't have a general idea for what Android is. And so actually, I don't mind it too much. Maybe they could have done something like Droid 2 or, you know, whatever, something like a little bit, you know, not getting the nomenclature too muddied there. But I think keeping with the Droid name is on the consumer side very good.
Droid synonymous with badass, basically, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm torn. And I think I'm curious to see how they market it. If they do like the same sort of commercials, very industrial. But, you know, and certainly the lines kind of look the same as the original Droid. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. So let's talk about the Evo 4G, because that's another big decision, right? You have the Droid Incredible, which is at the top of the heap, and then the Evo 4G on Sprint. But that's not going to be available till probably June, right?
That's right. I mean, you're going to have to wait a little bit for it. So it's not like it's right around the corner. But again, it's sort of is.
Well, let's look at them side by side. All right. They're both running Android 2.1 with Sense. They both have the 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor. The Evo 4G has a larger screen at 4.3 inches. And it's not AMOLED. It's TFT LCD, right? So you shouldn't have the same problems outside. The Evo has a gig of ROM, which is good and bad because Android actually can't use the full gigabyte for storage space for apps. But, you know, whatever. The Evo 4G will do WiMAX, which isn't that big a deal to a whole lot of people. But if you live in a WiMAX town, certainly it could be. Let's see. Both have micro SD card. Both are micro USB. The Evo 3G or Evo 4G has a 1.3 megapixel camera on the front, which is still kind of new, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to be used. You know, they both have Wi-Fi, but you can use the Evo 4G as a Wi-Fi hotspot for 8 devices, whereas for the Droid Incredible, as far as we know, you can't.
I don't think that'll ever happen on Verizon. Well, I say that, and then I gotta back up and say they did it with the webOS devices, but it seems like that would be something that, you know, maybe they should have put in there now that if, you know, the 4G has it.
And I'm willing to bet it can get hacked in there at some point. You know, most phones end up getting Wi-Fi hotspots or at least tethering, right?
That's right. I mean, it's not a very difficult thing to do. And with the open nature of Android, I don't see it being a big deal. You know, you're right, though. The Evo does have, you know, a few other differences on it. But still, that big whopper for, you know, a lot of people is the fact that the Incredible is on Verizon and the Evo is on Sprint. So I got to keep that in mind, too.
I don't know. It's going to be, man, it's going to be a big summer for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a smartphone fan, especially Android, you're really happy right now because you've got so many different options right now. It's unbelievable.
And as the Droid Incredible comes out, we found out that the Droid Aris is actually hitting end of life. Now, this is a term we're used to. It doesn't mean that the phone is going to get, you know, not be supported anymore. If your phone breaks, you know, Verizon won't say, sorry, tough luck. They're not going to come to your house and take it away from you. Can you explain a little more what end of life generally means?
Well, I mean, it means that they are no longer going to be, you know, shipping out more devices, or at least shipping them in a very limited fashion out to the retail stores. And so at some point, you're not going to be able to buy any more Aerises. I mean, that's I think, the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
Still going to be there. I mean, mm-hmm. You think about, like, the Centro. I mean, the Palm Centro is still out there.
My mom uses one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still there. I mean, you can still, you know, get support for it in places. I mean, most of the time it's in, you know, third-party communities, but you can still, I think, talk to Sprint, and Sprint will, you know, help you with it and do different things to, you know, you're just not seeing a, you know, the ability to go and buy a new one if you need to.
That's, and we're still waiting for the Android 2.1 update to come for the Droid Airs. And I'm betting it will. The leaked versions have been out there long enough. You know, Verizon, it just takes forever to get stuff out, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they got to make sure everything is just so. I mean, that's how they are. That's how they've always been.
Let's talk about the Xperia X10. It is now available on Rogers for, I believe it's $100 or $200 with the standard Canadian 3-year deal. Would you give up, it's $150 for 3 years. Would you give up 3 years of your life to a carrier like that? I mean, that's standard in Canada, and you can actually pay more for the phone for a shorter contract, but 3 years is standard. That's just a long time.
I think so. I think I'd go with a shorter option and pay a little bit more. I mean, knowing what I know about how I use devices, it certainly would seem like, you know, an eternity for one particular phone. But for some people, they use a phone for, you know, a real long time, and, you know, until it breaks. I still see, you know, Motorola Razors out there. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you could buy a Razor. In fact, can you buy Razors still? I don't think any of the carriers are still having. They may. Anyway, you still have people that are using it because it's always worked for them, and, you know, they have no reason to change. So if they can get an initial cut on the price, it's not that big of an issue. But for a smartphone user that is, you know, looking to buy one of the hottest pieces of technology, I don't think that 3 years is a good practice. Spend a little bit more, and then you're not tied in to that particular contract for that long of a time in case something else comes up that you want to get. It just makes a lot more sense.
That's why I really do like the way Google's doing the Nexus One, even though I don't like you can't play with it in a store, and, you know, the advertising's kind of lacking. But I like that I'm not tied in. If I want to go buy another phone, I can buy another phone and sell the Nexus One.
Mm-hmm. That's always an option. I mean, there's so many people that are in the market all the time for a slightly used device. I mean, even if it's like a year old, that's still, you know, a new device to them. I mean, the technology is such. Think about computers and how computers kind of excelled in the technology throughout, you know, the late 90s. And then all of a sudden we hit a point probably, what, about 5 years ago, where if you bought a phone or a computer in 2005, it's probably not that bad of a computer still. The computer I have, I bought in 2007, and it's got specs that are pretty close on, you know, overall to computers that you can buy now. And I compare, like, the computers of the late 90s to the phones of today. And so we're going to see all these different evolutions of, you know, different, you know, features and things. But at some point we're going to hit, you know, a point here, and I don't know what it is. I'm thinking, you know, as a particular feature, a camera, you know, an 8-megapixel camera on a phone, that's going to be standard here before, you know, too long. And how much more out of a camera do you really need for the general consumer other than that? I mean, I would argue that 5 megapixels is probably good enough. Look what's happened to that camera market. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of aspects of it. That, and I totally just went off on a tangent, but going back to it, yes, you can still sell a phone and raise some funds if you buy it unlocked and then go and buy something new, because there will always be people out there that'll want to buy something that's just a little bit, you know, a little bit used.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have now landed at the Android Central podcast. Thank you for that ride with Mickey Papillon. speaking of the Xperia, you got the X10 Mini and X10 Mini Pro supposedly are coming to Rogers in Canada this summer too. Those are just odd little phones, and they're tiny. They're like 2.2 inches. They're so small, it's almost hilarious. Our friend Simon Sage was with us in Barcelona, and we were all looking at it together, and Simon's like 7 feet tall almost, and seeing him hold these phones was just awesome. They're so small.
Very small devices, but, you know, you've got something that it may fit a particular niche. And seeing the first profits for Sony Ericsson since 2008, obviously they've got some momentum here, and hopefully these devices will help them out.
You know, the question is still whether we will ever get a Sony Ericsson phone in the U.S. I'm not betting on it at this point. And really, I'm still in the midst of writing our Xperia X10 review. I had the phone for like 3 weeks, and just didn't do anything with it because it's still running Android 1.6, and supposedly Timescape, which is their big UI customization, is going to get overhauled before it gets the 2.1 update. So, you know, like Gizmodo even refused to review this version of it, right? So I'm really curious to see if they fix a lot of the stuff. I'm not a big fan of Timescape. I think, you know, it's a 4-inch screen, and I think a lot of the screen real estate is wasted. I'm not a huge fan of aggregating all of my social networking in one place because I just have so much of it, you know, between Twitter and Facebook. I don't need all that stuff in one giant waterfall coming at me. You know, so that's me. Normal people are probably a little more streamlined than that. I don't know. It's a hit and miss phone. I mean, the hardware is kind of the cautionary tale of Sony Ericsson, right? They have what's, for all intents and purposes, really good hardware, and then they just screw it up on the software side and screw it up on the launch side, and you just never see it for your, you know, 6 months, and by then it's old and stale and slow anyway.
And that's, yeah, it's a tale of Sony here in the U.S. That's what they do. That's not, I don't know if it's intentional, obviously not, you know, to make a device not succeed here, but they just never seem to have the, you know, the momentum that they have overseas. It's, they're just not a brand here like they're known everywhere else, I guess.
Yeah. The HTC Desire showed up in the U.S. cellular rebate form.
All right.
I am always amazed at how many people are actually on U.S. cellular because it's not one of the big four networks in the U.S. And any time, especially on the Winmo side, that we posted something, just everybody was wildly excited. So I think it's good. I'll be curious to see exactly what form, if and when it does show up, whether it's more like the Droid Incredible or whether it looks more like the stock Desire that we saw. So
I think people like U.S. Cellular because they're not one of the four big guys, and mm-hmm. they're very passionate about their network. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good one. It's relatively widespread. They've got roaming agreements that allow them to work where they need to work and whatnot. So it's funny. I hear about it too on the Cell Phone Junkie, people that, you know, call in about U.S. Cellular and, you know, how much they like it and, you know, or have questions about it because it's, again, it's, you know, they don't have the advertising like everyone else does, but that doesn't mean they're a lesser carrier. They're just smaller.
Right. The MyTouch Slide, which is supposedly a follow-up on the MyTouch with a keyboard, right? Mm-hmm. So we're starting to see more and more leaked pictures. We saw some a few weeks back. Now it looks like it's going to have Android 2.1 and then that weird espresso version of Sense. It's almost like it's not really Sense in the full form that we see like on the Legend and Desire and now the Droid Incredible. But it has a lot of the same features like Friend Streams in there and basically the same stuff. It just looks a little different. And it looks like you'll be able to get it in three colors. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And if you're a T-Mobile user, that, you know, you can upgrade your current MyTouch if you're looking for an external keyboard here. I think this is the first device that T-Mobile has had since the G1 that's got a slide-out keyboard on Android, correct?
I believe you are correct.
Yeah. So not that there have been that many other Android devices out there, but I'm thinking about some of the other, you know, ones like the Devour that Verizon has. So anyway, there's something to be said for that. And it's a nice device. I really like the MyTouch. I know a lot of people who have it that, you know, love T-Mobile. There's another carrier that people just love. They love how, you know, the prices are cheaper, of course, and in the network itself, you know, yeah, it doesn't have 3G everywhere, but they're expanding, you know, quick enough, I guess. And, you know, they do a good job, too. I like T-Mobile in that regard.
Let's see, the Samsung Galaxy S, which is another one of my new favorites from CTIA. It has passed the FCC with AT&T 3G bands intact.
Yeah, which doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be on AT&T.
Right, no, we need to stress that because people will see these numbers and start saying, oh, yay, it's coming to AT&T, or boo, it's coming to AT&T because they're going to cripple it, and they might well. Mm-hmm. But that's absolutely not what it means. It just means it went through testing and it had these radio bands in it.
And it could be, you know, it could be for AT&T for sure. It could just be for sale here as an unlocked device, although, you know, we know how well that works here. Or it could be something that gets used in one of the other North American countries that have the 800 and 1900 megahertz bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for use here in the U.S., there's a number of different scenarios. Yeah, it's likely that it could go to AT&T, but it's certainly not confirmed.
Yeah, we just don't know. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Did you see this square Motorola thing that's been floating around with a weird square keyboard and square screen? And
it's different, and it doesn't intrigue my you know, my the form factor that I like. I mean, I like the idea of having a front-facing QWERTY versus something that slides out, but I would rather just be there and not have to be a slider. I mean, this I don't see this really doing much of anything except making it, you know, half the size when it's in your pocket, but, you know, still when you're using it, it's still rather large. I you know, I saw the new the Microsoft Kin. Is it the Kin 1 that looks
mm-hmm.
like that?
Mm-hmm. The Turtle.
And, yeah, and I'm the same thing with that. I don't like this form factor, but you know, people like sliders, you know, especially the sliders like this. So they're just trying to capitalize on that.
Do you think this is anything that's going to see the light of day? Do you think it was just some Frankenphone prototype that somebody leaked out there? And because the original post got pulled at the request of whoever the dude was who leaked it, so I mean, maybe it's something that's coming and they're just not ready. Maybe it's something that's just never going to see the light of day. And Motorola was like, dude, don't do that. I don't know. It's just such an odd shape.
Yeah, I you know, it's got the Motorola branding on it. It could be a prototype. I mean, they're testing out, you know, probably dozens of different devices, and you know, they'll, you know, put them, you know, make display or demo devices for people to try out and use and stuff like that. And someone took a picture of it and it got into the hands of Droid Dog, and so it could come out. It could not come out. I don't know where Motorola would be going with this, other than probably more entry level type market. It doesn't look extremely, you know, prosumer, and so maybe they're deciding to, you know, do something different here. Maybe it's another T-Mobile device. It'll be their successor to the Click or something. I don't know.
Could be. What do you think about Google reportedly working on its own tablet? Speaking of weird square devices.
Well, the tablet market is obviously totally in the spotlight right now. Everyone is talking about it, and it's funny because tablets are not new. Tablets with a full-on, you know, desktop operating system have been there for years, and I think a lot of what what Apple does with devices like the iPad are, you know, bring people's, you know, attention to things that they say are important. And so where, you know, people didn't really find tablets all that interesting a couple of years ago, now you've got something that is selling so well that we're not even going to be able to see the iPad in international markets here for another month. And so Android and the folks that are taking a look at making hardware for it does definitely stand to actually get itself some market share if it can come out with something that is not only very stylish, because that's one thing that the iPad has for it, but can add on the functionality that the iPad does. I mean, it's like an iPod Touch. It's fairly restricted in some of the stuff that you can do with it compared to any sort of Android device. And the instant-on capabilities plus the fast, streamlined experience of using a phone operating system on a device like that, I think could really put some market share on the Android tablet market. But I don't know how many people are, you know, honestly, the hardware guys are going to be making, you know, these types of things. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't really know right now, because it all seems like a lot of speculation at this point.
I finally went and played with an iPad last weekend, and remember, I'm a big fan of the Dell Mini 5, and I kind of wanted one, but after playing with something that's, you know, 10 inches like the iPad, a 5-inch device just kind of doesn't seem big enough anymore.
It's funny, because I've been doing the same thing. I've got an iPad, and I've been using it quite a bit, and to the detriment, I guess, of my use of a laptop anymore, or my netbook. Actually, my netbook is what is suffering the most. It's just been sitting here just charging, no use. And I find that, you know, going from the iPad, then go back to the iPhone or, you know, some other device, I mean, the screen just doesn't look as good. I mean, it is, you know, quite amazing. That being said, I don't like to travel with it, and I only, you know, bring it when I know I'm going to, you know, be sitting down and spending some time other places, because it's not like I'm going to the mall and bringing it along with me. It doesn't fit my pocket. Well, it does, but it sticks out a little bit. So
I wonder how many people have, manufacturers and companies who were working on Android tablets have gone back to the drawing board now.
I mean, right.
And obviously you can't, you know, stop on a dime if you're already about to start production, but man, it's a pretty compelling device, even for all of its problems. So, like something like the Dell Mini 5, which has taken forever. It's almost like a Sony Ericsson device that's taken so long to come out. I just really worry about the market for something like that now.
Mm. What do you think What do you think the general consensus is, though, among the manufacturers? Are they interested in making something that could sell a few hundred thousand units, or do they take their resources and focus them on what they really are set out to do, which for the most part is, you know, designing new, you know, great hardware mobile phones?
Yeah, I mean, this is my speculation, in that people were like, yeah, all right, we need to make an Android tablet, but what's it going to do? And everyone kind of sat in a room, was like, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, a tablet would be good, and we should totally do one. But, yeah, and the Dell Mini 5 is nice, but it almost, things like that almost feel like they were kind of done without a purpose, like an actual end. Here's what we want the experience to be like, which is what Apple starts with, right? And so that, I think, is where you get just the total difference in user experience. Hopefully, the iPad will raise the game of Google tablet, of Android tablets. But again, you know, it's going to be 8, 10, 12 months before we see a good one. And who knows when this Dell Mini 5 is ever going to come out, right?
Well, there's no reason for any you know, manufacturer to rush something out. I think that's what happened after the launch of the initial iPhone. I mean, it totally changed the way people thought about using a phone.
BlackBerry
Storm. How about the Samsung Instinct? A lot of people loved it, but I tried it out and I thought it was just atrocious. And that's what I'm concerned about. You know, that we may see a little bit of that. We'll see some things come out that just won't feel quite right, and it's not going to be something good. The consumer's not going to want to use it.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. That's about it for all the hardware. Our Motorola Devourer review is finally up, for better or for worse. It was an odd phone. You know, it came out at a weird time because it's the first phone on Verizon from Motorola after the Droid, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of expectations, even though from the beginning we knew it was going to have a small screen and a kind of a different keyboard. That's actually, I think it's better than the Droid's keyboard. It's just easier to type on. But, you know, it wasn't meant to be the sequel to the Droid.
Do you find that, you know, after using both, would you recommend somebody to take a look at getting the Devourer, or were there just too many, we'll just say too many things that, you know, the Droid had going for it that it still makes that the, you know, the chief dog?
We had an interesting conversation with one of the corporate PR people from Verizon when we were at CTIA, and don't think of it so much as an Android phone. Think of it as just a phone that kind of anybody can use, and that's easy to get to your Facebook stuff and your Twitter stuff. I'm not a fan of Motoblur at all. I think it's a pretty poor implementation. But I'm not the typical user for something like that, so maybe I'm the wrong one to ask. It's, you know, it's got a horizontal sliding keyboard that's pretty easy to use and has pretty big buttons. And so the woman we were talking to said she had recommended the phone to her parents and they love it. So there you go.
And it's
maybe
sturdy.
Maybe it's like the Centro of Androids.
The Centro of Androids. It's a sturdy phone too. I think that.
Oh yeah, no. Build quality was total, you know, usual Motorola, and really strong, really sturdy, and it felt good in the hand. Kind of an odd shape. It's a little thick, but you know, you're not going to worry about it falling apart. You're not going to worry about the slider falling apart. It's heavy. It just feels really good in the hand, like the Droid does.
I look at some of the other things though. I mean, it doesn't have the symmetry that, you know, with the button on the front of it,
right?
The trackpad, I think that should be in the middle. You know,
and the screen was just an odd size for the amount of space it took up.
Right. It's very small. Relatively to the size of the device, and so it's not. I don't know. I'm looking at some of your pictures and the video and stuff. I didn't find that to be overly impressive either. Just kind of felt washed out, little kind of, I don't know, like Centro pictures. How's that? So that whole fixed focus thing, no flash, just no.
Yeah, good. It's
no good.
It's a cheap Android slider is what it is,
yeah.
Despite the really good build quality.
Yep.
The Nexus One's car dock came out, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that because it is just a car dock for the Nexus One, but it is interesting, and I really want to follow stuff like that because it's Google putting it out on its own, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's $55, which is a lot of money for a car dock. And basically, it'll stick to your windshield, or there's a little disc so you can stick it to to your dashboard, which is how I've done it. And it has Bluetooth in it, just like the desktop dock. So you put the phone in it, it starts charging through the little gold contacts again. And then the Bluetooth connects your audio up to a built-in speaker that's on the dock. So that's interesting. The speaker's pretty loud. I need to try it with highway driving. I have a Honda, which are notoriously loud for road noise, right? But the speaker's pretty loud. I still have a little bit of issues, and I'm running Cyanogen ROM, and, you know, so who knows what I'm just doing weird. I love that ROM, by the way. But it still seems to have just Bluetooth stack issues. Like, things will act up a little bit when you first take it out and Bluetooth shuts off. I tell you, the one thing it's really missing, though, is an FM transmitter. If it had that, it would be perfect.
Do you find that the microphone on it is acceptable, or is it using the built-in one from the phone?
No, it's using the built-in microphone from the phone, and it has a little cutout hole so that your voice goes through it still. You know, it's a speakerphone in a car, right? It's only going to be so good.
Yeah.
And I haven't tested it too terribly much yet. You know, I wish these things would just get a little better for as long as we've come. You know, Bluetooth on things like that and speakerphones, they're only going to be so good for the amount of money you pay. I understand that. But for something as not important, but, you know, A, you probably shouldn't be talking in the car to begin with. But if you're going to, use a speakerphone. And so if you're going to use one, you know, I want you to use one that you're not struggling to use, right?
I think the price is fair to maybe just a tad on the more expensive side. I think they would have posted it for $49.99. I think that would have gone a long way. Over $50 for a dock in a car, even though it does have Bluetooth, it just seems a little bit on the high side. So if they would have come down maybe $5 with it, I think that would have been, you know, a relatively, you know, a competitive price. And that being said, it probably doesn't even really matter, because those that want it are going to buy it. And, you know, it's a dock, right? I mean, it's a dock for, you know, making sure that your phone is constantly charged, which is very important with the Nexus, because it does, you know, tend to run down quickly. And so if you can, you know, use that, and especially if you're in a state that has, you know, restrictions on using your device as well in a vehicle, this can definitely help as well for making and receiving your phone calls. So
I like having navigation with it now. You know, when you plug the phone in, it automatically launches the car app, which gives you big, like, five buttons, you know, navigate, view on Google Maps, search, voice search, there's something else, I forget what. So it's easy to reach, and it's a really nice way to go into navigation. I wish, like, finding a destination was a little easier than it is, but I think they can fix that in software updates, no problem.
And that's something that I think, even just talk about it real briefly, is that this is the first time that we've actually seen, you know, this car menu get used. I mean, you could always go into it, but unless you actually physically went and did that, I mean, you never saw this. And so that's really neat that it just does that just automatically when you plug it into this thing. I think that's, you know, that's a great thing to do. It makes it almost like a Garmin, or, you know, like a TomTom style device, where it allows for real simple navigation on it, and only really gives you access to the stuff that you should be doing in a car. Although, I'm not sure the search function, I mean, are you, when you click on that, it actually allows you to then type on the keyboard?
Well, you can do voice search too.
I know, but I'm just saying there's that
sunglass
search icon.
And you know, searching through contacts, you still have to do. Actually the home screen doesn't rotate automatically. Oh, geez. So it'll be sideways if you're using it horizontally. So, I mean, again, I'm more curious to see how Google implements all this, you know, from selling the thing to the actual use of it. So it's a good first try, and I hope they update it a little bit.
Sure.
Let's go into some software stuff. Android 2.1 is now available on more than a quarter phones. 27% of Android devices now use Android 2.1. That's not the majority, unfortunately.
No.
There's still a whole bunch on 1.5 and 1.6, and I hope we get some more updates this spring, because I know a lot of you guys are just chomping at the bit for them. But it's interesting to see that after the Droid got its 2.1 update, that just shows you how many are out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you still have 70% of phones that are on 1.5 or 1.6, so there's a long way to go as far as upgrades here. So, but yeah, nice to see that there are a lot out there with 2.1.
Mm-hmm. How many, what is that, 0.1% still have 1.1? Yeah. Whose phone is it? That's like one guy's phone somewhere in Montana.
Right, he just decided, he clicked no for the update.
Dude, update your phone.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I actually just found out that the HTC Hero is probably looking at its Android 2.1 update in early May now. That just leaked out.
Great news.
Yep. Motorola updated its chart of when devices will be getting their 2.1 updates, maybe, because you know how Motorola goes with that stuff and how long it took for the Droid. But it looks like the milestone in Europe is rolling out right now. See, Canada planned for second quarter. The backflip has been slated for third quarter. The Click, second quarter, which is what we're in now. The Devour upgrade under evaluation. So there you go. Check out that chart. And actually, it's a good thing to check back every few weeks or so and see if they've updated it. Because this is an old chart. They first launched it back in February. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else? Speaking of the Hero 2.1, we actually got a leaked release candidate of that ROM, and it's not really something I would recommend that you go and just slap on your phone because it takes a little work to do, but Jerry Hildenbrand has done just a great job walking people through it, and they found a way to roll that back, so if you do try it and you want to get rid of it because it's not a finished ROM and you know it's a release candidate, there are going to be bugs, but there is a way to roll back if you have, so we'll have a link to that in the show notes, and you can go into the forums. And Jerry, thank you for doing that and walking people through it. What do you think about these Android, not just Android, but these official Twitter clients, Twitter bot Tweety for the iPhone, which is just a brilliant, brilliant Twitter app. I love it. So now they've said that Android's going to get an official Twitter client too. And a lot of people said, you know, oh, Seismic's dead now. And Luke Lemire from Seismic did this great video. And he was like, look, we make Twitter clients, and we're going to make the best one we can. And if it's not the official Twitter client, so be it. We're still going to be a very good option.
I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, the early stages of Twitter has caused people to realize that using anything that, you know, finding an application that works for you is not a real difficult thing to do. I think Seismic is one of the better ones on Android. I thought Tweety was one of the better ones on the iPhone. And, you know, for them to, you know, purchase Tweety and now making this quote unquote official application just is really going to push people that aren't familiar with the third-party applications towards one, and it may, I think, help Twitter just as a general service to have something that's official on them. Now, that being said, there's nothing that I would change about the way that the applications that I use, because I've got multiple, you know, I try out multiple different ones and use, you know, the ones that I really like depending on the platform that I'm using, and there's no, I think, one best one that's out there. So I think it's okay for them to find and use one as their official, you know, application, but keep giving people the choice of using whatever they want, and I think it's okay.
Oh, let's see. There's a rumor running around that, did anybody get that line, actually? Rumor running around? No? Stone Cold Crazy? Queen? No? Nobody? Crickets?
Nothing.
Oh, you're not a Queen fan?
No.
Oh, man. I'll ask Joey. Joey, you're a cell phone junkie partner in crime, would know it from Metallica's cover.
Probably, yeah, probably.
Oh, Mickey, Mickey, Mickey. Anyway, so the Nexus One is rumored to get an update any day now. This rumor said it came out of Android France. Supposedly better memory management with a new version of the Linux kernel and a fixed problem of multi-touch when the fingers are too close and activating the FM radio feature. It originally said of the camera, it was just a bad translation. You know, maybe, maybe not. Look, a new kernel isn't that big a deal. It is if you're the one coding the thing, right? But, you know, that's not like the be-all, end-all of updates. Fixing the problem with multi-touch, that's a little more interesting. And remember, I'm the guy who totally screwed up my understanding of how that worked a month or two ago. But I've talked to people since then. I've talked to a developer who had to deal with it, and I've talked to HTC, which makes the phone, right? And it's my understanding now, and if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me, but basically, the manufacturer, the screen that is used in the Nexus One will only recognize your fingers when they're a certain distance from you, 2 points. And it won't recognize more than 1 point if they're closer than 15 millimeters. And that's pretty damn close, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, call it a bug if you want, but that's just the way the screen is. Whether they can fix that with a software update, I don't know. Maybe they found some way around it. Again, it's one of those things that I think, like, spec-wise, it could be kind of important, and if you're a developer who counts on that sort of thing, it's important. But for me as a user, it's just not something I've noticed and something I really care about.
Yeah, so it's probably not a big deal, but if there's something that rolls out, of course, it'll be, yeah, you know, there'll be, you know, people, you know, riding in the streets. It's going to be so exciting.
What about the FM camera? FM radio? Do you care about that at all? I'm surprised at the number of people who really, especially like in Europe, who really want an FM radio in their phone.
No, I don't have a big desire to it. I've had a number of devices that have had it, and I can't say that I've really ever used it. I guess when I think about listening to, you know, some, you know, music that's not on my device on the on it, I find an application that'll take advantage of, you know, being able to stream it. I haven't really thought about using FM radio, but you know, there are, you're right, in Europe, you know, you've got, especially in the UK, you've got the BBC, which is fantastic, and a lot of people enjoy listening to that. So if you can, you know, figure out a way to listen to it, it's a positive feature that it's there, just as a selling point, but not something that I find myself really ever using.
You know what I still want is a proper satellite radio app on Android. Where's that? I want my Sirius.
It would be nice. Obviously, there's a lot of interest in listening to that type of content, but I would say even better, and I know there are certain things like Howard and things that people love listening to on Sirius, but I think the Pandoras and especially Slacker, that's my favorite streaming application. I think having those is more important than having a streaming service like, or having an application for Sirius. But if you, like I said, it's all about the content. And if it's just music, try one of the other services that are out there, mm-hmm. because there, I think there are things that are even more customized to what you're looking to listen to. I mean, you know, I love some of the Sirius stations, but you know, I don't know, I get sick of them, and you know, they play the same, you know, I don't know, dozen artists over and over and over. So,
I know I'm getting old, but new music just sucks now.
It's all disposable. It's horrible. I call it, it's a disposable pop, you know, and you hear like Lady Gaga and it's like, yeah, this is just listen to it and throw it out. Cause that's it.
My 3-year old. Oh, this is awesome. She knows the Ting Tings. She like sings, "That's Not My Name." I think we heard it in the car like once and she'll be in the bathtub. "That's not my name. They call me Mia." I'm like, dude. So I finally had to go get it. And, so now she just runs around the house dancing to it. It was like, oh my God, it's starting already. She's 3.5. Let's go back to the Nexus One screen for a minute, because something else we've seen before is that supposedly it doesn't do colors quite as well. We've seen issues between Nexus One, the AT&T version, and the T-Mobile version. And then another one that was showing all sorts of color banding. And it turns out what it is, it's Android 2.1. It's not necessarily the screen itself. The Gallery app in Android 2.0, which we only ever really saw on the Droid, right? Because no other device started with 2.0 and then went up to 2.1. So when you looked at a photo, and specifically these photos they used in testing, you would see kind of halos and banding. And you didn't see it on Android 2.0 on the Droid in 2.01. But when it got the 2.1 upgrade, suddenly you saw it. And it's something that, in their example, also, you saw it on the Nexus One, which obviously had 2.1. So I tried it too with the same pictures, and sure enough, it's there. And what happened was the original Gallery app was written in some 24-bit color thing, blah, blah, blah. And the 2.1 app was rewritten in 16-bit color, but it's three-dimensional color or something like that. But you obviously see the banding. On one hand, yeah, that's a big deal, and I hope they change it back or fix it or something. But on the other hand, when I'm just looking at pictures that I've taken, I don't see this at all.
Right.
It's another one of those, quote, issues that kind of is and kind of isn't. I want good color, absolutely, and I want the best color I can get on my phone, but I'm not going to stay up at night worrying about this.
Right. It's a minor thing, I think, that why would they have written this in 16-bit?
Oh, don't ask me. I'm not a coder.
I'm not even going to try and speculate on that one because I have no idea. But you're right. It would be nice if they could get that back to the 24-bit just to, you know, to appease the people who have got concerns about this. Ultimately, though, yeah, I don't think most people have noticed it.
People are so quick to pick up pitchforks these days.
Right.
I'm seeing we should start a class action lawsuit about, what's it about? Oh, I can't even remember now. It's about some issue they have with something. It might be waiting for an update or something. It's like, guys, you're not going to start a class action lawsuit. Just stop it.
Right.
Ugh. Anyway, I'm keeping positive this week. I'm staying in a good mood. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon.
There you go.
Center. Google updated its Gmail web app.
It's nice. I mean, it does, you know, what it says it does. You can now, you know, take out contacts easier. You can, you know, add people easier. And
why wouldn't you use it though? I mean, and Jerry and I were talking about this. He's using it instead of the native Gmail client. I mean, is it just a preference, do you think? Do you really find one's better than the other?
I don't know. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why you would use it. Maybe you're just because it's got, no, I got nothing.
be curious. We ought to run a poll and see how many people use that over the native app. I'd be curious.
It makes sense on other operating systems, but not on Android.
Right, right. For Android, which is built to do this correctly the first time. I'm not saying that the native app is perfect, because it's absolutely not, but it's pretty darn good. So.
Okay, I've got one kind of like off-the-wall type of thing. Can't you specify how many days of email that you download in the native application? So you could only have like the past 7 days, and maybe your Gmail inbox is like the last, you know, 3 years, and you want to be able to go in and scroll down. I don't know.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I'm fine, you know, and I get a ton of email, so I'm fine just running a search, because the search works so well. It kind of doesn't matter to me how many days I have, because I don't want to flip through all that, because I get so much email. I just want to be able to search it out real quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any good reason for it. Now, it updated the web app, and this happened for both Android and the iPhone. So I think Google had, you know, just out of, you know, the sake that it will work on Android as well as the iPhone. I think this is more geared towards users of the iPhone, but I don't know. Maybe there's someone out there that can tell us why you would use this one that makes a lot more sense. There's probably some big reason, like, you know, matzo ball hanging out there that we're just not picking up on, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. In other usual kind of Google news, they bought a company, it's a UK company called Plink, which kind of does the same thing that Google Goggles does. And really, you can relate this back to Gizmo and Google Voice and Grand Central. Remember, Google bought Grand Central, which was Google Voice before it became Google Voice. So what I'm betting we're going to see is if not a radically better Google Goggles at some point, at least better back-end services for them.
I think so. I've been using Grand Central for years. In fact, my main number that I use now as a Google Voice number was Grand Central. And I got to hand it to them. They, you know, when they first took it over, it was a little bit klutzy, but it's really upgraded itself nicely over time. And I find for the most part, it's about as solid as I could ever ask for. My translations of voicemails are not coming through properly now. I don't know if you've noticed that at all.
Like bad translations, or you're just not getting
just
them?
Just not even coming through. It says like translation could not happen or something like that. And maybe it's the length of the voicemail and they want to get the email out to me quicker.
I've seen it once or twice. I mean, you can still go listen to it. And I think...
Yeah, and you can still log into google.com/voice and read the translation, but it's a couple minutes later.
Yeah, so maybe it's taking a little longer than they want. I don't know. Did you see supposedly they're working on a desktop version of that?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That would be awesome if I could just like call somebody over Google Voice instead of Skype. And
Well, in routing it through Skype, you're saying? Or
No, just instead of, you know, you just call from Google Voice.
Oh, I see, and it's just a voice over IP. Oh, yeah. Oh, why wouldn't they have that? Well, just because they don't.
Please, Google, I've been good.
Yeah, I wonder what the cost would be for them to do something like that, because they'd have to host all their own, you know, stuff. I mean, they probably come out with something first that allows for just outgoing calls only, and eventually this may turn into incoming calls, but then it like totally like discredits the need to have anything else. And then also you're at a computer though. Are you making a lot of calls over Skype on your computer to landlines and cell phones right now?
Nope, never.
Yeah, okay. So you know what I'm saying? Like you're...
Well, because I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, well,
or is that just Skype in? I can't remember which one you have to pay
Well,
for.
Skype out costs money, but I mean, you can get an unlimited plan for, what, $30 a year or something like that?
That's not bad.
No, it's nothing. So, but, you know, I don't do it either. Occasionally, I mean, the only time I really do it is to, you know, pull people in to podcasts for interviews. Mm-hmm. And they calls out and so that I can, you know, pull their telephone audio in. But that's it. And I don't know. Most people, I don't think, want to talk at a computer. But if you're someone who works there all day long, maybe you can get some sort of... you know, headset that just works nicely and you'll be okay with it. But
or get a big ass podcasting mic like you and I have, because then you feel really cool talking into it.
You feel like you're just doing like interviews with people all day long. You're like, so mom, let's have a little chat here. So tell us, how are things going with the bread you're making this afternoon? You know, I mean, no, what?
You know, keep going. That was a really good conversation.
No, that wasn't.
Adobe CEO was talking to Fox Business this week and says Flash is still, quote, well, not quote, on track. Those are my words. But he says we're still looking at bringing it in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I will too. They've been under a lot of scrutiny recently. And I don't think that what they're doing is... Their product is used so widespread, let's just say, that there's no reason for them to make some, you know, big sweeping changes. It's just, there's all this criticism at them now. It's almost like people who were interested in seeing devices like the iPhone and iPad have Flash have now totally flipped their view on it and said, well, hey, Adobe, it's your fault now. And I don't know. I would say it's, yeah, I'll believe it when I see this one, though.
Ooh, I don't care about Flash. I just don't anymore. I'm trying not to. I'm not getting down. It's Friday. It's beautiful. Sinner. I should do like a yoga pose. I should do the podcast from the floor. Let's talk some Google stuff. I sat through their earnings call yesterday and almost all 2 hours of it. And, you know, the finances, whatever. You know, Google's making money. It's just a matter of how much money are they making. And they were up over the same time period last year, so that's good. They talked a little bit about mobile. They said there are 38,000 apps in the Android market now, and I used apps in quotation marks because, as we all know, there's a whole lot of crap in that thing.
Yeah.
I really hope they do something about that and find some way to start cleaning up the market.
I mean, what you look at all these markets now are like this. It's a race to get how many applications you can possibly can in there. I mean, what, 180,000 now in the Apple Store, the iPhone Store. There's not 180,000 uses out there. You know, there doesn't need to be this many. I mean, if anything, you know, 40,000 even seems a little ridiculous right now. And you're right. But what do? You start cutting, you cut them out, or you start restricting things, and you start an approval process that, you know, bothers people and stuff. I don't know. I think this is, it's going to continue to be this, you know, just huge behemoth of a thing that you just have to wade through all the time and search through to find the stuff that you want, or at least use the featured applications areas or the, you know, the most downloaded ones, at least to get an idea of some of the good stuff out there.
They did talk about the Nexus One briefly. They're not giving specific numbers about how many have been sold, but they did say, and let me read this right, they did say it's, quote, a profitable business. And Jerry and I have been talking about exactly what they mean by profitable. They say we're driving the business to be a profitable business from the get-go. And Jeff Huber, their VP of engineering, said, we're not disclosing the specific number, but we are very happy with the device uptake and the kind of impact that it's had across the industry. So, I mean, what do you really think they mean by profitable? Do you think they mean money, like we're making money, we're not losing money on the whole Nexus One venture? Or do you think their goal from the get-go was really to just kind of shake things up a little bit, come out with a phone, sell it a little differently, even if it doesn't sell that well, just kind of toe the waters and see how it works?
Yeah, I think you're reading a little too much into it. I think it is truly profitable for them at this point. But yep, Keep in mind that one way or another, they're getting their money when they sell these. And so I don't think that they came out of the gate and said, we're going to sell, you know, 10 million of these things. I think they looked at probably a relatively realistic number of, you know, maybe a few hundred thousand. And so I think things are progressing nicely for them with it, because I think their expectations were pretty low. When they came out to do it, they realized that they weren't going to be selling this, you know, through a store. And so because of that, people, they had to realize going into it that it wasn't going to be a phone that got picked up by every consumer on the street. It was a very specific, you know, niche, and they were okay with that. They wanted to show what they could do with a phone, and that's what they've done. So I think it does, you know, tie into the financial side, and I think it probably has been profitable for them, because, you know, they're selling a lot of these, you know, outright, and the price on them is pretty high. Granted, it's, you know, making them a few bucks in each one, and, you know, they're either getting it from the consumer or they're getting it from the carrier in the form of the subsidy.
And that's something to remember, yeah. They refuse to talk about kind of the sales strategy and whether that's been successful or whether they're going to change it and ever offer it in stores. In fact, they just refused to comment. He said, we have no comment on that. So don't read anything into that. I think that just means they're not going to talk about it. I think that was probably their strategy, and they're going to stick with it probably, right?
I think so.
I don't really see them changing. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I don't either. I think this is where they're at. This is, they're fine with it. They are not hurting. Let's just say that. $6.7 billion in revenue over the first quarter.
It's $1 billion.
23% increase over 2009. Most people, companies that is, are seeing increases over last year, but to still see net income of almost $2 billion, which is up almost half a billion over last year, it bodes very well for them. I'm I'm pretty pleased. It's not as a Google stock owner, but just as someone who follows the industry that they are doing that well.
Something else that was interesting is they said Eric Schmidt, and he wasn't a part of this call either, but he's not going to be a part of the earnings calls anymore, mainly just because he's that busy and the dude's just everywhere, like having coffee with Steve Jobs.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, good numbers for Google. Good to hear him talk about the Nexus One a little bit. Good to hear him talk about the market. They said, and they reiterated that number, saying that they're selling 60,000 Android units a day.
Yeah,
that's just a buttload.
You know, it's a good number, and especially for, you know, the folks that are using the operating system, you know, the price is right for them. And so, you know, for Google to get their brand and their operating system out there so quickly is a wonderful thing. I know they're pleased with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. We got a couple contests still going on. We've put out two batches of entries for people who want to win my Nexus One. Have you watched any of these?
I well, yeah, of course. I've been watching most of them. Things are going okay. You know, I still would love to see, as I think you commented, you know, let's see some female entries as well. I mean, I know the majority of people who listen to this show are male, and that's okay. I mean, most of the people that follow tech are male, and whatever. But it would just be fun to see something, you know, from the fairer sex as well. That's all I will
yes,
say.
Yes, I like women.
Yeah. But yeah,
and actually, I'm not voting on any of these. We're going to, you know, put it out to all you guys out there to vote on who you think has the best entry. But I think the best entry I've seen so far, we're going to put it in the third batch next week. So you still have plenty of time to send these in. All you have to do is videotape yourself. Videotape. I say that in 2010. Video yourself. Record yourself. You know, telling me why you deserve my Nexus One. It's the T-Mobile version. It's in great shape. It's the one I used almost every day for 2 months. And I want to see some fun stuff, guys. Get out there and do some, you know, do something. Don't just tell me why you want it. Go dance. Go sing. Go do something.
Something creative. That's all we're
something
asking.
Creative.
Yeah.
Something with fire. Fire would be cool.
Yeah, let's not melt any phones, though, because that could just be dangerous. Plus, the chemicals and the battery, just no good.
So. Yeah, don't die. That would be bad.
No, yeah, we don't. No.
Don't kill anybody for this contest, either.
But nonetheless, there are some really good ones in there so far. So, but how about you share with everybody how they can get their votes in?
Just record yourself, upload it to YouTube, and email it to me, phil@androidcentral.com. And we still have more entries rolling in, and we're about halfway through. We're going to take entries through the end of April. So do it. Send them to me. I want to see some goofy stuff. And you guys are weird. I'll just say that now. There's a lot of you guys out there are pretty weird. I mean, my kind of weird, but weird nonetheless. I'm saying that with a smile.
I don't even have anything to say to that.
No, it's really good stuff. So you guys keep it up. Send me some more. We're halfway through. We got another contest that's going to wrap up this weekend. One of those forum deals where we're trying to find out what your favorite racing game is. And for your troubles, we're giving away 10 invisible skins for any number of phones. So we'll have a link to the show notes in that. And go tell us what your favorite racing game is, and you will be entered to win. And we'll have another one coming up next week with more good stuff.
Nice.
Dude, that's a lot of news.
It's a lot of news. It's been a big week.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
We got good stuff coming up. We'll have a lot of good stuff coming up next week, too. Can't tell you about it yet. Not going to tell you about it yet. So check back in next week.
Sounds good. And if you want to get in touch with us, be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 888-468-6158, extension 222. This entire show and the site is brought to you by the Android Central Store, which is found at store.androidcentral.com, and you can get in touch with them by calling 866-757-8117, and make sure to follow all of us on Twitter. The site is at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey, or you can follow our list of all the writers, which is over at the AndroidCentral.com site.
Yep, and you can leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158, extension 222. You can leave us an intro to the podcast just like Joe did. I love hearing those. You guys come up with some really good stuff, so send me more.
I just want to make sure that everyone got that voicemail number. I believe you said 888-468-6158, extension 222.
Did I say it too fast?
No, but I said it first, and then you repeated it. So I just wanted to make sure everyone got 888-468-6158, extension 222. It's the way you can leave us a voicemail.
Hey, have you mentioned to everybody how they can leave us a voicemail?
888-468-6158, extension 222. Leave us a voicemail.
Even if all you want, zoned out for a second. I was getting all excited about The Incredible.
Even if all you need to do is just call in and say hi, we want some voicemails. It's probably one of the funnest things for a podcast host to talk about is the voicemails that people leave for us. 888-468-6158, extension 222.
Mickey?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. God, you're punishing me for that, aren't you? All right, everybody, that's going to do it. We will be back in a week. Thanks.
See ya.
See ya.